Good morning. I greet you all in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has been a real blessing for me to be here this weekend, to be with the brothers of the ministerial, and we did have some classes yesterday, and it was a real blessing. Brother Frank asked me to preach in English this weekend, and I was almost sorry. I promised him because it's amazing how much you forget the English language when you don't use it that much anymore. I used to be very fluent in the English language when I went to chiropractic school in Tennessee back in the early 2000s, but that's over 13 years ago now since I graduated, and I haven't used the English language so much, but we'll see how it goes. I first of all wanted to introduce myself. My name is Richard Wall. I am from Mexico. I'm a chiropractor. That's what I work, but also pastor in a small church there. Our church has four places, I should say, or four sister churches that are there, and I serve as a pastor in one of them. And we also have a Bible school, and I teach several subjects in the Bible school. And so I was asked by Brother Frank that I would come here and teach a few subjects this weekend, a subject on hermeneutics and homiletics. I might as well explain a little bit what we did have this last weekend here, so you know what we were doing here. Hermeneutics is a science of biblical interpretations, or we could say it is a system, it does have rules and principles of how to correctly interpret the Bible. We know that there has been many different types of hermeneutics and many different types of interpretations. In this world today, when we take a look at, there are so many different churches, they look so different, and they would all say we all believe in the Bible, but it is because they interpret the Bible very differently. And I think it's a very important topic that we think about it, of how we interpret the Bible in order the way it should be interpreted. Then we also saw a subject of homiletics, that is how to prepare a message and how to present it. We looked at several different kind of messages, and we all had a great time, a great blessing. And I would ask you that you would pray for your brothers, that they would be able to use these tools and apply them as they work for the Lord and work in the church here. Now, this morning, I would like to look with you into a text, a very well-known text of Daniel chapter 6. Can somebody tell me what we have in Daniel chapter 6 before you look into the Bible? I think this is very, very well-known. Can somebody tell me, what do we find in Daniel chapter 6? Anybody? Okay, that's chapter, that's the first three chapters, that's where we find this. Daniel chapter 6 is the Daniel in the lion's den. And I think everybody knows that story. We know that from small. I don't know how many times I have told our little boy this story before he goes to bed, but this is a very well-known story. I think we all know it very well. And let us read Daniel chapter 6, the first 9 verses. Maybe later we can go further, but Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to him, setting over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom and the administrators and satraps and the counselors and the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make firm a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Interesting what we find here. Always when we come to a well-known passage like this in Daniel chapter 6, I think it can become potentially dangerous to us. Why am I saying something like this? Why is it becoming dangerous for us? I think there's two reasons. First of all, we have a tendency to sort of fill in the blanks. We assume that we know the passage so well that we just quickly fly over it or quickly read over it without reading and rereading, assuming that we know everything and that we know and think that we put the emphasis on the right syllable or emphasize on the right things. And another reason why this can become potentially dangerous for us is because it's absolute rife ground for works righteousness. It is so easy for us to raise a bar and attempt to jump over it on our own strength. And that's why I think we always, when we come to a very well-known passage, it is time for us to read it, reread it, and meditate on it, and pray the Lord that he would open our eyes so we could better see what it's all about. Like I said, we want to look a little bit into the picture and in the context of this text, but we want to go in three phases. First of all, like I said, I entitled the message, Faithfulness That Honors God. And the first phase that we see here, or first thing, step that we see here is faithfulness that honors God is a blessing to the kingdom of man. When we read it, it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to him, so that the king would suffer no loss." You might want to underline that, so that the king would suffer no loss. "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to him, setting him over the whole realm." Now, I want to think about it for just a minute and think about Daniel. When Daniel was a young boy, he was only in his teenager years, the Israelites were led into captivity and they were led into exile in Babylon. And Daniel was one of them. And when we look at it, the chapters 1 through 3, we saw exactly what the sister said. We see the fiery oven where Daniel's friends were put into the oven, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But no one of them suffered any loss or was damaged because God was with them. And we see the juxtaposition of God's people and in exile and the great Nebuchadnezzar, the king who thinks he is in absolute control. And he is constantly reminded by Daniel and his friends, and especially by God, that who reigns and who is in control is the God who rules the world. In chapter 4, we see that Nebuchadnezzar is finally sent into the wilderness, eating grass like a wild animal, because he would not bow his king, his knees, before the Lord. Then finally, after being in the wilderness for many, many years, he bows his knees and recognizes the absolute righteousness and sovereignty and the glorious God. And interestingly, after that, he is gone. Unceremoniously, and we don't hear about him anymore. He is gone. And then there's another king. Then Belshazzar is king, and he thinks that he is in absolute control. And then so he is reminded. And after Daniel reveals a dream to him, and that same night he is killed, and another kingdom takes over. And in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of this exile, there's a name that remains very interestingly, and that is Daniel. Daniel remains all this time. Over and over, the Babylonians try to make Daniel a Babylonian, or try to make them one of theirs. They tried to change his diet. Well, eventually did change his diet. They changed his location. They changed his language. They changed his job, his vocation, his training. And all of these things never made Daniel a Babylonian. And we see a true faithfulness in Daniel, which pleases and honors God. I think sometimes we think of Daniel as some kind of template or some kind of religious hierarchy, as you would call it. But that's exactly what Daniel not is. Daniel is just a plain, simple, faithful man. And now in the first phase, coming to the first phase, now that we looked at the context, it says that Daniel became distinguished because of his faithfulness. We see that through his faithfulness, he became promoted to the kingdom over and over again. The king was talking about how good Daniel was. The king was talking about what Daniel was doing. The king was talking about the good that Daniel did for him. And it says it pleased Darius to set Daniel of one of the three presidents, if you will, over the whole kingdom. There were many governors, and he was over them, and he was strongly considering to give Daniel even a higher position. And sometimes I wonder if we think about Daniel. When we calculate all the years that Daniel has been in exile, he is in his mid-80s here. And he has no plans for retiring whatsoever. He continues to serve the kingdom over and over. Isn't it interesting? In our country, I don't know how it is here, but I think it's not much different here. But in our country, everybody tries to get the best job possible and then retire, because that means that the government will continue paying them, and then they don't have to work and they have all this money to spend. In your country, I've understood that I think that people can put money aside, which is deductible, and then later spend it when they get retired. Well, interestingly enough, Daniel is faithful, and he doesn't even think about retiring. He thinks about serving the kingdom and how he might see to it that the king would suffer no loss. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but that is a tremendous faithfulness. He is looking for the welfare of that land and of their people there. In fact, Daniel, he wasn't a missionary, he wasn't a priest, he wasn't of something big. It's, like I said, not some kind of religious hierarchy. He's just a simple man doing what he had to do, looking to the welfare of the city. And why was Daniel doing that? It was because Jeremiah, who was back in Jerusalem, wrote a letter to the people in captivity in Babylon, saying what the Lord said what they should do. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I don't know if we've ever read this, and I must admit to you, this was the first time that it caught my attention when I was preparing this message. Why Daniel was doing what he was doing. But if in Jeremiah chapter 29, Verse 17 and further. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send them the sword of famine, pestilence, and I will make them rot. Pardon me, we'll read from verse 1, I'm sorry. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests and the prophets and all the people of whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah, the king, the queen mother, eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths, had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Eliza, the son of Zephan, and the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And now listen to this, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. And so on. So this is a letter that Jeremiah sends to the elders in Babylon, which are carried away captive, which are in exile. And Daniel is in the midst of them. And Daniel is being faithful. Now the interesting thing is that we see here is Daniel is not trying to Judaize, whatever we would say that, these Babylonians. He's not trying to convert them into Jews. He is doing plainly and simply what the Lord or what God has told them to do. He's being faithful. He is looking to the welfare of the city. And he is looking to that the king might suffer no loss. And in this, I would like to encourage us. You know, sometimes we would think, oh, if I could be into the ministry, I could do so much more for the Lord. Or if I could do this, if I could do that, if I could do anything, if I could have some great vocation, or if I could have some great thing that I could do in the church, then I could do something really for the Lord. But that's not what Daniel does. Daniel is being faithful. Daniel is looking to the welfare of the city. Daniel is looking to so that his boss will suffer no loss. And I don't know our attitude towards our boss that we work for. Or I don't know who all of you works for a boss. But I think it's very, very important that you be faithful to your boss, looking to that he will suffer no loss. And with that, you'll be a much greater example than trying to convert somebody. Because Daniel was just plainly and simply living out the word of God. And that was his faithfulness that moved the rest of the people, or that the king made look up to him, so that he would see what they were doing. And now I would like to take this picture over spiritually. And I think about it so many times. We live today in a world where we as Christians have our mindset, or we often have the thinking that we must Christianize the culture around us. We must try to make everybody a Christian, and then we can live in this culture and be part of it, and then live in it. But Daniel wasn't trying to Christianizing the culture. Daniel was just living out the word of God. Daniel was living out his faithfulness of God, and that was what honored God. That was what glorified God, and that was what made the people look up to him. Oh, how I wish, brothers and sisters, that in my life and that in your life, the mark of Christ would be seen. that we would be seen as sinners washed by the blood of Jesus, serving the Lord by serving our bosses or by serving the company, whichever we work for, faithfully, just like Daniel did. And the next thing I would like us to look in this text here is the faithfulness that honors God represents a true religion, or is a picture of a real faith to God, I should say. When we go back, let's go back, it says, then this distinguished Daniel himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to him, setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault in him. Then these men said, and listen to this statement, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What a statement of Daniel, if you will. I find it so interesting here to think about it and to meditate on that. Why was Daniel so distinguished from the other governors or the other satraps? Because he was a faithful person to God. And so what they were trying to do is they start an investigation. They think we have to get rid of Daniel. They don't like Daniel. And I think those other satraps and those other people around Daniel, they might have thought, well, this plain simple Jew, he doesn't smell like us, he doesn't look like us, he doesn't eat like we do. We ought to get rid of him as soon as we can. So they start an investigation. And what do they find? Absolutely everything right. Daniel is doing everything according the way the king wants him to do. So what do they do then? They say, we ought to find something that goes against his beliefs or something against his faith. Then we can come up with something. And so they go. And I think if we let this sink in for a minute, it says, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. If we can go against the law of his God, if we can go against that, and I would like to think about that for a little while, look into that. And we see that in Psalm 119. Let us read these verses. Psalm 119, verses 17 and on. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on them, on your statutes. Your testimonials are my delight and my counselors. This is Daniel, if you will. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. The law of God was which directed or by which Daniel lived his life. The law of God was his number one thing that he built, that he founded his life on. And that's what these men, these satraps and these governors found. We have to find something that will go against the law that Daniel builds his faith upon. And when we get something that will go against it, then we might find a charge to get rid of this Daniel. There is no other possible way how we can get rid of him. And one thing that they do is, then they go and they make up something. If we go back to Daniel chapter 6, They go and says Daniel chapter 6 verse 6, so these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said, King Darius live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, how about that? They make a decree here. They make up a law that anybody who will pray or make a supplication to any god except for the king shall be thrown into the den of the lions. And this is the way they come to him. Now, why is Daniel living and why is Daniel praying what he is praying? I think these governors and the satraps knew very well, and I think that Satan has given them these thoughts of how to make something up and how to make a trap for Daniel. But even in the midst of the trap, God knew exactly how to preserve or how to be faithful to Daniel, because Daniel was faithful to him, and how to save Daniel. But if we look at that, we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verses 37 through 40, and we will know why it was that Daniel was praying the way he was praying. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verses 37 through 40. We know that when Solomon dedicated the temple to the Lord, he prayed, and this is what he prayed. Yet when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried away captive, and repent, and make supplication to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have committed wickedness, and when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul, in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried away captive, and pray toward their land, which you have given their fathers, to the city which you have chosen, and toward the temple which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Isn't it interesting? Solomon prays this prayer here many years before and many years after. Over 100 years later, there is Daniel still doing the same thing that Solomon said when he dedicated the temple to the Lord. And Daniel goes to the window, opens the window, turns toward Jerusalem, and prays toward Jerusalem, toward the temple, praying this prayer that God might deliver them. And so that's exactly what they did. Daniel was living a life according to the law of the of God. And that represents true faithfulness that honors God. And that is faithfulness that represents a true religion, or a faith, I should say, that honors God. If we think about Daniel prays here, and what happens after he prays? And that's the third phase I might go to, and that is the faithfulness that honors God often results in persecution. That's what happens. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and now when the king knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. So Daniel goes back and he prays. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any God or any man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of the lions? And the king, of course, answered yes. And so they say that the law cannot be changed, and so on. If we read the text, we won't go into too much detail. But I would like to notice us a few things as we think, or as we meditate over this passage here. These men came up with an idea that all the governments and all the satraps, and they come before the king and they say, we have made up a royal statutes, or we have consulted together. Now, wait a minute. That is a lie. Where was Daniel when they had the meeting and when they decided this is what we're going to put up for it? Daniel was nowhere. People always lie. And that's exactly what's going to happen to us too, brothers and sisters. If we are going to be faithful to God, live out our faith, people are going to lie about us many times. We will experience that sooner or later. But it doesn't make any difference to Daniel. Daniel still continues to live his faith. Daniel still continues to be faithful. But these governors and satraps, they come to the king and they say, have you not signed? Then they come up and first say, have you not signed? Have we not made an agreement? Yes. Well, then there's this Daniel. This is what he did. And so we know that the king really tried hard to save this Daniel. He really tried hard, but he couldn't. There's so many times we read in this passage that the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be altered, that the law of the Medes and the Persians could not be changed once it was signed. And so what happens to Daniel? He goes to the lion's den. He goes to the lion's den. And this is what happens. And see, this is what happens always. Men who try to destroy the kingdom of God and who try to destroy the kingdom really hate God. And those men are really irrational. If you think about it for a minute, that is, the king wanted Daniel there. Why did he want Daniel there? Because Daniel was seeing to the kingdom of man, that he would suffer no loss. Yet these men know that he's a blessing to their own kingdom, but they want Daniel gone. Aren't men or people many times irrational, just like these men were? And that's exactly what Jesus said. One kingdom goes, or men are against each other in their own kingdom. And we see that all the time. And I think sometimes we tend to blame the church. And we think that the church hasn't done their part, and that's why everything goes wrong. But that is not the case. What we see again in this text here of Daniel, that is, the bad things that happen around us and the persecutions that are, is not because the church has not been doing their part, but because men by nature hate God. And that's why they try to put away with people or try to attack people that really love God and that really faithfully serve God. And you know what? Because first of all, Satan hates faithfulness that honors God. Satan hates if any of you are faithful to your boss, any of you are faithful to the law, the word of God, any of you are faithful and pray daily, Satan really doesn't like that. Satan wants to put away with that. So he'll come up with many different things, many different ideas to try to distract us, to try to get us away. And if not, he'll do it through persecution. And there's one last thing that I would like to say about this passage here, and that is, it really did please God to save Daniel from the lion's den. But like I said, this is not for us to raise a bar and try to jump over it on our own strength and think that, oh, if I'm going to be faithful and if I should be persecuted, God will save me because of my faithfulness. That is not the picture here, brothers and sisters. It did not please God to save Stephen. Stephen was martyred. Stephen was killed. While Daniel is being saved, others are being killed. We here in America or Mexico, we are being very blessed. We can openly go to churches and we can pray to God and we can worship God and we're not being persecuted. But in reality, that's not the real picture. In the world, there are so many sisters and brothers in Christ today that are being persecuted and being punished to death just because they serve the Lord. And I think everybody who really wants to live faithfully up to God will result in persecution sooner or later, one way or another. And I think what we ought to do is we ought to really pray that God would make us faithful. We can't be faithful by ourselves. Jesus will do that in us. Jesus will make us faithful. But I think this is a picture of the true servant of God that God was going to send later, who would redeem us from our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would just like to encourage us all to be faithful to the Lord, to His Word, and to be faithful in prayer, and to remain faithful. And faithfulness that God will work in us will is also an honor to God, or is a glory to God. And I wish that this passage, like Daniel chapter 6, even though it is very well known, but it really would encourage us in our walk with the Lord so that we could continue on serving the Lord until He comes for His church and we will be able to with Him. See, Daniel, when he was there, he was praying. He was praying for something and yearning for something that he was never going to see. Think about it. He was in his 80s, and he was longing that he would go back into the land where he could go, and he never got to see it. But we're going to see Daniel in heaven one day, and maybe we have a yearning too, which we are praying for. And maybe we won't get to see it here, but we'll see each other in heaven. A true faithfulness will bring us all into heaven, a true faithfulness to God. May the Lord bless us. I would like to pray with us together. Can we stand for prayer?